Hello, and welcome to Culture Crew, the show where we talk and obsess about all things pop culture all the time. I'm Chris Ankiko.
And I'm Shelby Schumacher. And today we're going to be talking about Detective Pikachu and Pokemon in general.
Yeah, that's right. So Detective Pikachu stars Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu and Justice Smith as Tim Goodman, the main human character. It follows the story of Detective Pikachu as he helps Tim, a former Pokemon trainer and the only person capable of hearing Pikachu speak, look for his father who has gone missing under mysterious circumstances. So I guess as of right now, we record this on a Monday, May 13th. It's the best reviewed live action film adaptation of a video game on Rotten Tomatoes, currently holding a 64%, which is pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't a whole lot of that they're competing with, I don't think.
Well, yeah, I know they beat out Endgame this week, obviously, because it's the new movie and Endgame's been out like 3 weeks. But
yeah.
But that was pretty predictable. So obviously the movie is based on a 2016 Nintendo 3DS game, Detective Pikachu.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't play because I only have a normal DS. So okay. That's kind of sad.
I never owned a DS.
What?
I stopped at Game Boy Advance SP.
I had a Game Boy Advance and then I got a DS Lite. My brother and I both got DSs. It was great. He broke his? Yeah, I didn't. And then he would like take mine to play games on his.
You ever own a PSP?
No, but I love the PSP. I wanted one so badly with the tiny little disc things.
Yeah, the little discs. They're called like UMDs so cool. Or something, and you just insert them, and it's great. Battlefront was so great, but that's not what we're here to talk about. So I guess we'll talk about like some general impressions that we had before we get into more spoilery talk.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so in general, I thought it was pretty good. I think Ryan Reynolds elevates the movie in general a lot.
For sure.
It's an otherwise okay movie, I think, but Ryan Reynolds makes it like pretty good.
Yeah, you definitely needed a comedian in that position, and he the way I can describe the character is the PG-13 version of Deadpool.
It's more of a PG-13, I think.
Yeah.
It's like Deadpool and Once Upon a Deadpool, you know? I never saw that, but I just figured that's kind of what it's about. Because, like, the jokes are a little bit raunchier at some points than I thought. It's not really a pure kids movie in that way. I think what gets kids in the door is, like, the fact that it is Pokemon and, like, they look really cute, you know? But Ryan Reynolds and his humor style is more predicated towards adults, and I think that sort of shows.
But I also think that we can't look at this movie as solely for kids. It really isn't.
Well, no, like that's not what I was saying.
Yeah, but like just on a broader spectrum, like I wanted to go see it because I grew up playing Pokemon. So I think that's why they could kind of get away with.
No, I think that it feels like stuff. Yeah, it kind of feels more like an adultish movie because I think it was geared toward people in our age group and doesn't feel like as much of a kid's movie. It's people that played Pokemon as a kid and now they get to see it on the big screen. Speaking of that, like the world building I thought was pretty cool.
They did a good job.
Especially in the main city. I think it's Rhyme City, it's what it's called.
Yes.
It made it feel like a world where humans and Pokemon like actually lived in the same place and like every human's got a Pokemon partner. And it was like really cool to see. And like
I was so jealous.
And the Pokemon are like doing like you know, just kind of everyday stuff like directing traffic and things like that, doing security and all this stuff. So I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, those are my general impressions. What about you?
Overall, I would say it was okay. I was happy with it in the sense that it had some nice humor. Something that really was great for me was being able to see a more live action version of the Pokemon. I think they did a really cool job making the Pokemon in the live-action realm because the way we know them is just a flat color, maybe some shading. And to see Charizard with sort of a scale situation in a fuzzy Pikachu is really cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And they set it up nicely.
Yeah, we'll see in terms of, I assume they're going to make more movies.
But how?
But what's that going to look like, though?
Yeah, what is that going to look like, and how are they going to do it?
Yeah.
But that's involving, like, spoilers.
Yeah, that's, stuff.
Overall.
Stuff more down the line.
Good movie. Would definitely rent it. or watch it on Netflix again, I wouldn't go back to the movie theater to watch it again.
No, it's not an Endgame situation.
No.
No, but it's like a pretty breezy movie. It's like an hour and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you just sit there, watch it. You're never really bored.
Yeah.
If anything, you're kind of like, oh, that's kind of a weird interaction. But mm-hmm. yeah, in general, I didn't have too many problems with it.
Decently entertaining.
Yeah. So I guess before we get into spoilers, I think at most public screenings, I think, they were giving out game cards or, you know, little Detective Pikachu packs of Pokemon cards. So we're going to open those right now. It's really,
so excited.
Really great for an only audio medium, but, you know, we're going to open them right now. We're going to see what we get.
I want to beat him.
Yeah, we saw this movie on a Thursday, like last Thursday, so 4 or 5 days before we recorded this.
You have no idea how hard it was for me not to open these.
Yeah, so we were just like, yeah, we're just going to open them right here. If I can.
ASMR. Haha, I'm beating him. Aww. Oh, okay. So I think that my friend also went to this in New Mexico, and she got a Detective... Yes! And she got a Detective Pikachu, so I think everybody gets a shiny Detective Pikachu. But I got Charmander!
Okay, I got more lol. So lol, I got more lol.
Haha. I would totally beat you. But did you get
Oh yeah, I got the Detective Pikachu. Yeah, okay, I think everyone gets the Detective Pikachu.
They're both shiny Pokemon for those of you that care. But yeah, I'm a huge Charmander fan. My favorite Pokemon is Charizard, so yeah. This is great.
I wonder if these were all the
trading card game.
There's a little bit of there's like a fold out in here. Oh yeah, to collect all the Detective Pikachu cards. So there's like a Charizard and there's a Mewtwo. There's a Greninja. Mm-hmm. Bulbasaur, Psyduck, Snubbull. Okay, interesting. Even though that's funny because Morlul isn't even on there.
Kind of sad that I didn't get the Mewtwo, but there's probably only three of those floating around.
Yeah.
Wait, which Detective Pikachu did you get? Did you get the one with Brilliant Deduction or did you get the one with Coffee Break?
I got the one with Coffee Break.
Okay, same.
Okay.
So we didn't get the more special one.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But that's all good. That's all good.
Oh, I could have gotten Charizard.
That Charizard looks super powerful, too.
Charizard's a badass.
Yeah. Well, he looked really powerful in the movie.
He looked like he didn't want to be there as well.
I mean...
He just didn't want to...
He was only engaged for a little bit, and that's because of a thing that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
So, I guess we're just getting into the plot. So, the first thing we see is Mewtwo breaking out of a testing facility, and it appears in the beginning that he kills someone that was, like, driving a car away from the facility. And then it basically just cuts to Tim, who's an insurance agent and a former Pokemon trainer, and he thinks that his father died as a result of this accident. So he goes to his apartment to, like, pick up his things.
He wasn't a Pokemon trainer, though. He wanted to be a Pokemon trainer. Remember?
Well, I think it was a former Pokemon trainer. That's what I'm saying, as a kid. As a kid, he was a Pokemon trainer.
Talked about him having a Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense that he wasn't a Pokemon trainer because he kind of sucks. The beginning of the movie, he cannot catch. He's like...
A Cubone. He can't even catch a Cubone.
Yeah, he can't catch the tiny Cubone.
That's crying.
Yeah. Where was I? So yeah, he goes to his dad's apartment, and then he finds Pikachu kind of rummaging away through everything in there. And so they run into each other. Pikachu says that he has amnesia, and he's wondering how Henry Goodman, who's Tim's father and the Pokemon partner, he's Tim's Pokemon partner, Pikachu, because he disappeared, because they think he disappeared and didn't die. So he and Tim team up to go find him. Meanwhile, there's this drug going around called the R-drug, which basically just makes Pokemon stronger and more enraged. And so I think Tim, like, accidentally releases some of the drug, and then it gets into, like, what were those little monkey Pokemon called?
Apoms.
Okay. Yeah, so it infects them.
That's why I'm here, guys. I just translate Pokemon.
That's right. So, yeah, they get infected, and they just start chasing them around, but then eventually the R-drug wears off. But yeah, then it just sort of sends them on a wild goose chase to find his father.
And they meet Lucy Stevens, who's this really
Reporter.
Yeah, the unpaid intern reporter that's trying way too hard. It was kind of funny to watch her try to be a journalist. And I mean, I've worked at the Daily for my entire school career here at UW. and she's like, was very intense and stands in the shadows and shoves her phone in the face. I was like, that's not how it goes.
No, it was a very stereotypical, like, I'm a reporter in a movie. It's like, I'm looking for a scoop. I think that's what she says. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm an unpaid intern, but, like, I got skills and stuff
like
that. It's
like she watched too many bad movies. Speaking of bad movies, there was a nice Home Alone reference. Did you catch that?
I was not paying attention.
So when Tim Goodman goes into his father's
apartment. Oh, is that what was playing on the TV?
Yeah, it's the same movie that What's-His-Face was watching in Home Alone with the shooting, and then he blows up.
I don't know. I don't recall.
What are we going to talk about next? Plot holes?
Well, I wanted to talk about how this was one of the easiest movies to call ever.
Oh, totally.
This was probably the easiest movie to call that I've seen in a theater ever. Because early on in the movie, so Bill Nighy, who plays Howard Clifford, who's this big business owner who basically built Rhyme City. He's seen on a billboard announcement saying that his mission for the last few decades was to sort of bridge the gap between humans and Pokemon and unify them in society. Right then, I'm like, he's going to bond with a Pokemon. I was like, it's like 5 minutes in the movie. And I'm like, I know where this is going
to
happen. Because
so now you know what it feels like to be me.
Yeah, well, because what? So because he's a cripple, basically. He's like in a wheelchair. And then Mewtwo is established very quickly once Mewtwo comes in really officially for the first time as like the most powerful Pokemon.
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory on Mewtwo, which they cover in the first Pokemon movie, which is animated. Mewtwo was made in a lab from Mew's DNA, from the ancient bones of a Mew. And he's like made into this all-powerful Pokemon, and then he escaped. And in this movie, Henry Goodman went and captured Mewtwo again for an assistance with this evil plot that Howard Clifford wants to accomplish.
Yeah, well, because didn't he find old Mew bones? Because I think they talk about that.
Yeah.
So they found ancient fossils, and they made a Mewtwo.
Yeah, but that Mewtwo escaped, and then Henry Goodman's character brought him back.
Okay, that was what it was.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out Henry, like, sort of got introduced to the whole thing, got introduced to the whole plot in the first place.
They do the whole creation of Mewtwo off screen, basically.
Yeah. What happens next? I'm trying to figure out the order. It kind of gets all muddled for me.
It like is pretty muddled
in the middle, because I'm just kind of like, you kind of just like turn your brain off when you're watching it. Because there's a lot of just like weird moments, like weird acting moments.
Goodman and Lucy Stevens going to the site was sort of entertaining with Psyduck. I think Psyduck is another character that really helped carry the plot along, just because he was a funny side note.
Well, because he was all stressed out.
Yeah.
That was funny. Yeah.
And he had to have his feet rubbed by Detective Pikachu. Going into the facility, you knew something bad was going to happen, because something bad always happens when you go into an abandoned area. But I think that the writers got kind of lazy with the whole Torterra situation, the Torterra fields.
Oh, yeah.
Because they apparently, at this lab, made giant Torterras. When Lucy Stevens and Tim Goodman and Pikachu and Psyduck are all running away from the Greninja, Psyduck has a big episode and wakes up the Torterra, the massive Torterra that they're basically standing on. And
it looks like Inception.
It kind of
does. When everything's like folding in on itself.
Yeah, and the fact that Pikachu gets injured by like a little rock when they just survived all of that. And how do you find your way back to the car after getting tumbled around on giant Torterra bats?
Yeah, because all the Torterra like settle down. And then Lucy says, I'll meet you at the car.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, your whole geography has been shifted.
You fell all over the place.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole sequence in the movie where they're falling all over the place. And that's also just giving a way better opportunity for Pikachu to get injured in some other way than after everything's settled down and he gets hit by a rock.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that getting hit by a rock was super weird, considering that they were a few seconds like before that they were being attacked by Greninja.
Yeah, he should have just gotten hit by a Greninja
star. And
like
they were just like, yeah, they're just shooting. He was just shooting stars at him, and I was like, that's a better way for him to get injured than just getting hit by a rock.
Yeah, and then be carried by Tim Goodman. And we were like, please don't die, please don't die, please don't die. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could have been better. Come on, screenwriters. You could have done better.
But that's when they get back to Mewtwo.
Mm-hmm. And Mewtwo with the heals... cute little Bulbasaurs.
Yeah, with the Bulbasaurs, yeah. And then Mewtwo heals Pikachu. And then Mewtwo tries to explain what's happening. But then Roger, the Howard's son, mm-hmm. who is actually not Roger.
Yeah.
It's Ditto, captures Mewtwo. So mm-hmm. that they can bring him back. And then he, you know, Bill Nighy can control him.
And that, basically put his consciousness into Mewtwo.
Yeah. Even though I'm like, he's just leaving his body exposed. He didn't think that one through.
No, he didn't.
He did not think that one. I mean,
do megalomaniacs ever think things through?
Yeah.
Look at What's-His-Face from Phineas and Ferb.
I don't know. I really haven't watched too much Phineas and Ferb. You're really just exposing me right now.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What Pokemon companion would you want?
What Pokemon companion would I want?
Mm-hmm.
I'd want that dude's Charizard.
Same.
That dude was awesome.
But again, I love Charizards. I've always loved Charizards. I think that's another part of the movie where they just never... towards the end, there's this whole arc of Tim accepting Pikachu as his Pokemon partner when at the beginning he didn't want to have a Pokemon partner. And then... with, spoiler alert, when Mewtwo fixes Pikachu and brings his dad back to life, which is why he could understand the Pikachu talking, because it was actually his dad's consciousness. He just couldn't remember. It left Tim without a Pokemon. And then you're sitting there like, well, you can't really share a Pokemon partner with your dad. And then there's the whole issue of...
because the Pokemon partner is his dad, but then Pikachu's the dad's Pokemon. It's really weird.
And then, Ryan Reynolds did an amazing job developing Pikachu's character, but when we finally meet Henry Goodman, it's so flat.
When you meet Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, basically when you meet Ryan Reynolds, it's so flat.
He plays it just so straight. Like, mm-hmm. not even just, like, a... he's not, like, a cheesy dad or anything.
No.
He's just, like, hey, Tim.
He's not even the same personality as the Detective Pikachu, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, not even close. But I did, like, hearing the original, like, Pikachu, like, voice. Mm-hmm. That was cool. So, interesting thing. One of my friends, like, family friends, is one of the voices of Mewtwo.
What? Yeah. That's yeah, so cool.
Rina Hoshino and Katara Watanabe are the two dual voices of Mewtwo. And my friend knows Rina Hoshino. So I thought that was really cool.
It's the female voice.
Because there's a female voice and a male voice, mm-hmm. like, layered on top of each other. And he knows the female voice. So that was really cool.
That is super cool.
Yeah. Little tidbit there. But it was kind of weird, too, that, like, they just kind of... one of the big kind of jumps for me was, like, the R drug... being another, not only does it enrage them, but it makes them more susceptible to Mewtwo, like, inserting humans into Pokemon. I was like,
just odd.
I'm like, that's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just like, you know what? We got to find some way to put the humans in the Pokemon bodies.
This is something in the script that we don't need to explain.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But I thought it was kind of cool, though.
Yeah. I don't know how I'd feel about being a Pokemon.
It depends what kind of Pokemon.
I want a Pokemon. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be Psyduck. That would be awkward.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the Pikachu depressingly singing the Pokemon
theme
song. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, no, that was really good.
That was so good. I wanted the movie to begin starting off with the Pikachu, like the Pokemon song. Because I was so ready to sing along, and then it didn't happen. But I am glad that he just... depressingly sang it as he walked.
No, yeah, that was really cool to see. I think everyone, no matter if you're a huge diehard Pokemon fan or not, you're able to like, oh, that's the Pokemon theme song. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. And like the way he just depressingly did it. And a lot of the movie, like especially at the beginning when like Tim is like going over like his father's stuff, like he's a pretty sad dude, like being an insurance agent and stuff, and his friend at the beginning, who is also in the two Deadpool movies. He's the mm-hmm. taxi driver. He's like, dude, like, your life kind of sucks, dude. Your life's boring. He's like, don't you want to, you know, do some Pokemon stuff?
Yeah.
And he's like, that kind of, like, emotionally scars him kind of a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't expect it to take that kind of turn, at least at the beginning, at least just for it to start that way. And there's really not any catching Pokemon. except at the very beginning when he fails to catch a Pokemon, which I thought was interesting. Because I guess they established during the movie that everyone has a Pokemon partner already, and you don't need to catch the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of wild Pokemon, apparently.
Well, they're wild, but they're not.
Yeah.
I think it's specifically just in Rhyme City, though. Like, everywhere else, they're...
Everywhere else is a Pokemon Go world.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's crazy to think. So, Pokemon itself was created in 1995, and to think that it got to the place where it's a box office... I don't know. Would you call it a success?
I think it's a... I mean, it's... already the best video game movie of all time, because it's not really it's not really based on the anime, it's based on the video game, because the plot is very similar.
It's a box office success, what, 25 years later, 24 years later, and it has so many different games that's come out. There's a mobile game for your phone that's coming out next year. There's Switch games coming out, and so I don't know. It was kind of nice to have a movie that was like Detective Pikachu and not so much like the Ash Ketchum of going out and catching Pokemon, because it's something different that we haven't quite seen on the screen with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Saying on the screen, I'm talking about like television and movies. Mm-hmm. But
well, it's interesting that they did, that the studios did like catch on to that idea.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, not the Ash Ketchum Pikachu, like the Detective Pikachu, because it's more of a more... mature-ish and more like nuanced take on Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
because
you have so much source material that you can just make an entire movie out of.
Also, too, the voice of Pikachu in the game is very gruff. It's like this very like deep sounding, like kind of old sounding Japanese dude, which I think is kind of weird. So I think that kind of makes it stand out a bit than just having the high pitched like Pika Pika type thing, but which they do have. But they focus on more Ryan Reynolds and how he's more... This Pikachu's like... I don't know. He's got a bit more, like, depth to him. He's got more stuff to him than just the regular Pikachu that just shoots lightning. And that's the other thing, too. He doesn't know how to shoot lightning until the very end.
Yeah, he's struggling there in the battle against Charizard.
Yeah.
I think that one last thing that I want to say over this movie in general is the fact that after this movie... I realized during this movie that Ryan Reynolds in any movie or any screen is Ryan Reynolds to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see the character. Like, as soon as he walked out as his dad, I was like, oh my gosh, there's Ryan Reynolds. It wasn't, oh my gosh, that's Henry Goodman. Do you know what I mean? He's sort of become, like, it's like Samuel L. Jackson. It's Samuel L. Jackson in all of the movies.
Mm-hmm. And The Hitman's Bodyguard is a perfect marriage of both of them.
Yeah.
It's just Ryan Reynolds and Samuel Jackson playing themselves.
Basically.
Yeah.
I love Ryan Reynolds. Don't get me wrong.
No, he's great. No, and he's a marketing whiz.
Oh, sure.
Well, that's the thing is, did you see the thing on YouTube where it looks like it's like, oh, Detective Pikachu full movie, and it's just like an hour and 40 minutes of Pikachu just dancing? Like, that's great. Because, you know, because that's obviously a big, like, YouTube trope is that, oh, like, clickbait full movie type thing.
They could own the full movie.
That was really cool they officially did that. That was just such a smart move. And I would say one thing just more about like the business side of it. This was released by Legendary Pictures, and they're doing a lot more like kind of like anime inspired sort of kind of out there stuff, because they got Pacific Rim. They released Pacific Rim movies. They're doing the Monster Universe. They're doing the Godzilla and the Kong. So I think they're more prone to like sort of taking those risks and doing those kind of weird concepts that other studios really aren't doing right now, and especially with taking a chance on Detective Pikachu.
It's super nice, to see though, because it
and they did they did Warcraft 3 years ago, so they're doing a lot of like cool, interesting stuff.
When Pacific Rim came out, it wasn't very successful in the U.S., but it was extremely successful in China, and I personally loved Pacific Rim when it came out.
It's the best, like, pure action movie that I've ever seen.
It's great, and I'm kind of bummed that it wasn't as successful here.
From start to finish, it's just such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's you don't really pay attention to the plot at all.
Mm-mm.
I know, I saw it when I was in, like, junior high with my family, and I was like, I have no idea. I could not tell you a single thing that happened with the plot. But there were so many, like, robots and monsters.
It was brilliant.
That it was awesome. And there were just so much, like, carnage.
And I love Charlie Hunnam.
Like, he's the main guy.
He fleshes out that character really well to the point where you can just sit back and enjoy the action. But
that's the thing. I didn't really care. I didn't care about the character. I just liked the Jaegers and the kaiju. And Idris Elba's in that movie. I thought that was really random.
Yeah.
When I saw it. And then, I haven't seen Uprising, but is John Boyega supposed to be Idris Elba's son? Do you know?
I haven't been able to watch it yet.
Okay.
So I have no idea.
Yeah. Did we just say that in unison? That was fun.
Oh,
I have
no idea. We're becoming Mewtwo.
That's right. Yeah, we'll voice Mewtwo together in the next sequel.
Obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, I think so. That's our thoughts on Detective
Pokemon
Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu.
What would you give it out of five?
Out of five? Probably like a 2.8 or a 3.
Yeah, I'd give it like a 3. I'd give it a 3. Yeah. It's right in the middle for me.
I would definitely watch it again. I wouldn't go back to the movie theater to watch it, but it's a nice thing to have on in the background while I'm editing photos.
Yeah, I feel like it's something I could, if it was on like a streaming service, like a Starz or an HBO, I would just pop it on while I'm like cooking dinner or something. And I just don't have to watch it. I can just kind of have it on as noise.
But you can also get some good laughs out of it, too.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice factor to it. You don't have to pay attention to it the whole time, but when you want to, you can laugh.
Yeah, no, for sure. Alrighty, so we're going to move on to, it's a very short music review type stuff. It's really, we're really only going to talk about one thing, new thing that happened, which is Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber released the first song not with DJ Khaled in 4 years.
Good job, Justin. Way to branch out.
It's called I Don't Care. And obviously, Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber together, that's a power couple right there. It's a power coupling
in
music.
I mean, it's mostly a power couple because of Ed Sheeran.
At this point, yes, because Justin Bieber's been just out of the game so long.
But he doesn't even write a lot of his music.
Oh, really?
So like, the thing with Ed Sheeran is he writes all of his songs or has like a partner on the songs, versus a lot of the pop stars don't write their own music. And I think Ed Sheeran sort of just drove the boat and Justin was like, I'll put the vocals on it.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of the song? What do you think of the song, I Don't Care? You don't care?
Yeah, I don't care.
You don't care?
Like, yeah. I love Ed Sheeran. I do. And I'll probably have to listen to it a few more times for me to I don't know if I'll ever love it. There are other songs by Ed Sheeran and by Justin Bieber that I prefer.
Oh,
I will say that.
I feel like this isn't a full use of their potential.
Mm-mm.
I feel like it's just kind of they whipped it together and they're just like, hey, Justin, like sing this part so that we get more views, we get more listens.
Yeah.
It just kind of I don't know who wrote this song. I'm going to look at the credits here.
Guarantee Ed Sheeran's on.
Written by Ed Sheeran, Fred Gibson. Well, okay, so they both had a hand in writing the song, but Ed Sheeran gets first credit.
Yeah.
Gets first billing, which makes sense, because like you just said.
And it's going to probably be on Ed Sheeran's new album. The real question is, will Ed Sheeran's new album have a math-related symbol as the name, or is he going to go a different direction?
That's a good question, because...
Right?
Has he already done the four basic signs?
No, he hasn't done minus.
He hasn't done minus yet?
He's done plus,
he did plus,
multiply,
and divide. Yeah. Well, I assume minus is coming then.
Or he's just looking at it as like a trilogy.
No, because I think you got to have the four operations, you know, four mathematical operations. Like, come on, you've already like, you can't stop now.
I mean, yeah. But also like when he moves on to a different way to name his albums, what is he going to move on to?
Like, the Pythagorean theorem.
Pound
symbol?
Like
A squared, B squared, C squared.
It's
exponents.
2A plus or minus the square root of 2AB plus...
What? This is not a math.
No.
Are you talking about the quadratic formula?
No, yeah, the quadratic formula.
Yeah, you're talking about the quadratic formula.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that A squared plus like 2AB plus B squared?
Pause.
C squared? Okay, you're getting us into math now.
Yeah, okay. It's x equals negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac all over 2a.
Okay.
I feel like if I had
That's cool. That's the
pen,
that's the last thing I expected to be talking about today.
I feel like if I had a pen, I would have been able to write it out instead of just having to look it up.
I mean, you got some markers right there. You got a whiteboard right there.
Yeah, but that's far away and I could
It's far away. It's right there.
Google it.
distance.
Yeah, it's not near my hand.
Well, you can pretty much, you can, if you just outstretch your body just a little bit. If you lean a little bit.
Anyway.
You lean a little bit.
The only other minuscule sort of music thing that we could talk about, but it's sort of stupid, is Kim Ye had their fourth baby.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. But Shawn Mendes actually did release a song like
a
week and a half ago. It's called If I Can't Have You. It's playing on the radio now like all the time.
And it's in a, there's a music video along with it.
Yeah, there is. You know, Spotify has those little like little things when you play. It's got a little video that kind of
the vertical video.
The vertical video. The first time I played the song and I watched the video, I kind of cut to a song. I fast forwarded to a part where it's like the chorus, and it synced perfectly. And I thought it was like, it's gonna have the whole video. But then it loops back again. I was like, oh damn, that was so lucky. I thought it was gonna be the whole video. They should do that.
I think it honestly depends on the type of video. So some of the videos now are specifically being filmed so that you can watch it vertically. But that's honestly up to the director and different choices. A lot of the times I've noticed that it becomes lyric videos for that back video.
Yeah. I mean, I think that kind of makes the most sense.
All of Taylor Swift's songs, you don't have the album art anymore. It's just all me... art or a me video for even her songs back in the Taylor Swift and Fearless era.
But yeah, so that's really the only stuff happening in the pop music landscape at this point. So
I prefer Sean's song over Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber's.
No, I mean, I like Shawn Mendes. I think every kind of like press thing I've seen him do, especially with Hot Ones, I thought that was really cool. I thought it was really good because he really, you know, Hot Ones kind of exposes people's like, I guess, explicit or like however, like kind of how real they can get.
Yeah.
At least being on a press tour, you know?
For sure.
And I think more celebrities are getting prepared for that now, but still, like, especially earlier on, I think it kind of caught people off guard.
Well, when you're physically in pain while eating food, it's kind of hard to keep your guard up.
And when you're like sweating and stuff, it's kind of like, you know, lowers your defenses in a way. But yeah, so with that, we'll move on to our last little thing, which is what we're watching, what we're listening to. So the other day, which was yesterday, I watched a rewatched Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. It's a Lonely Island movie. It's a really short movie too, which I like is like an hour and 26 minutes. But you know, it stars Andy Samberg as Connor for real, who's like this big time pop star after leaving his the Lonely Island group in the movie called the Style Boys. Have you seen the movie?
God, no, I haven't.
Oh, it's so good. You gotta watch it. But it's basically like a parody of a pop star life. It's supposed to be like a parody of a music like documentary, like a tour documentary.
Kind of like Ron Burgundy, in a way, or
what? I mean, like I don't think Anchorman is like that.
It's kind of Anchorman is kind of a parody of news people.
I mean, it's a parody of news people, but it's not the same thing as like a music documentary kind of thing.
True.
Yeah, but that's sort of what it is. It's kind of, it feels like it's kind of like not found footage, but it's kind of like paparazzi type stuff, you know. But they get every celebrity kind of under the sun to do like random cameos,
of course, because they worked on SNL and you just meet everybody.
Most of their cameos are like come through like celebrity like interviews. Like Nas is in it a lot, and like ASAP Rocky, Simon Cowell, just random stuff. Sarah Silverman plays Andy Samberg's manager. Weird Al is in it as like this guy from another band. Justin Timberlake is Connor's Andy Samberg's personal chef.
Imagine the connections that you would make from working on SNL.
Yeah,
imagine that.
Well, because also too, the main kind of villain, I guess, is a current SNL cast member.
Yeah,
Chris Redd, who plays sort of the rival rapper guy. No, it's just a really like interesting movie, and it's very like it's very well paced. And it doesn't overstay its welcome, I think. Just being an hour and 26 minutes, it's basically just funny from start to finish. I watched it actually in my living room, and two of my roommates were there like cooking dinner, and they're like initially in the first 5 minutes like, "What are you watching?" And they're like, "It's like turn that off." And then I just kept watching it, and then they stayed and watched the rest of it.
Perfect.
So that was great. I was like, "Yeah, you're not gonna resist this one because it's really funny." It's basically like an SNL, like an hour and a half SNL digital short from back in the day. But I have no problem with that because I love them so much. So go give that one a watch. And then in terms of what I'm listening to, kind of going back to the sports realm, is a podcast called Pull Up with CJ McCollum, who's a shooting guard for the Portland Trailblazers. this past Sunday, before we recorded this, he had a great game against the Denver Nuggets in Game 7. Probably going to have a podcast where he talks all about it, because that's what he did with Game 6 after they won Game 6. He's like, yeah, we did a great job. But he's like, he was a journalism major at Lehigh.
Oh.
And he's the only Lehigh player that's ever been drafted into the NBA. So, you know, there's a correlation there. It means
look
I'm going
that.
To the NBA.
An NCAA, is it NCAA or no?
Yeah. Well, Lehigh? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't pay attention to call.
It's a D1 school.
But, like, look at a NCAA player actually getting a degree.
Yeah, well, also, I mean.
Instead of getting drafted. Right away.
Well, I mean, his podcast is, like, really good. And I think going to Lehigh and being, like, a mid-major player, you kind of have to stay for a little while.
Yeah.
You won't get noticed right away. But you can tell he's got, like, a voice for that kind of thing, and he knows his way around, and he knows how to interview people, knows how to be interviewed.
Good on him.
Yeah. And so, just in general, he's a really good player. He's a really good talker. So, yeah, give it a listen if you're a sports fan, you're
good
a basketball
time.
Fan, especially since they're playing the Warriors coming up real quick as of this recording.
So, what I have been watching, or more accurately, rewatching, is this show called Nikita. It's on Netflix right now, and it stars Maggie Q. You would probably recognize her from some Jackie Chan movies, where she got her start. She was in the Divergent series. She's the one that tattooed Triss. She's kind of a badass. She's awesome. She does a lot of her own stunts. And then it also has Shane West, who was in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is also a really lovely movie that you should go watch. And he was also in A Walk to Remember. And it's about this secret government agency that Maggie Q's character, Nikita, defects from. And she's now turning around and trying to tear it down and, I don't know, save the world, do the hero thing. But I really enjoy it because a lot of action, there's some spy stuff, and yeah, go check it out. I really love it. There's 4 seasons.
Yeah.
And then what I'm listening to, I'm going through a ludicrous phase, guys.
Oh, yeah, you are.
It's just,
I watched that happen right before my eyes.
Yeah, it happens. I go through phases both with what I'm watching, just consuming in general, and what I'm listening to. And right now it's a ludicrous phase. It's not as weird as some other phases that I've had. But I'm enjoying it. I had a really awesome road trip back to Seattle from Mother's Day weekend listening to mostly Ludacris. So
you just went through the whole This Is Ludacris playlist?
Yeah,
and
more. Yeah.
It's okay. So what's your favorite Ludacris song now that you've revisited all of his greatest hits, you know, all of his highbrow music?
I mean, I can't stop randomly singing the Break Your Heart with Tayo Cruz.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good song.
Maybe this is ludicrous, but Tayo Cruz, say how you feel.
No, God.
I have problems, guys.
Yeah.
Send me music suggestions that aren't as embarrassing as going through a ludicrous phase, and I'll get obsessed with those. I'm sort of actually branching away from my ludicrous and going more into punk rock.
Into punk
right,
rock.
Right now.
Well, you can update us on that next week.
For sure.
Yeah. And so with that is going to do it for our show. So from Chris.
And Shu, this has been The Culture Crew. If you want to join the conversation, follow us on Twitter @CultureCrewPod. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.